And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Present it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or will he accept thy present? Now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. Is it been of your hand? Will he accept any of your persons? Said Jehovah of hosts. Who is there among you that would even shut the doors? And you will not kindle fire on mine altar for nothing. I have no delight in you, says Jehovah of hosts. Neither will I accept an oblation at your hand. For from the rising of the sun even unto its setting, my name shall be great among the nations. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure oblation, for my name shall be great among the nations, says Jehovah of hosts. But you profane it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, his food, is contemptible. And you say, behold, what a weariness! And you have puffed at it, says Jehovah of hosts. And you bring that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring the oblation. Should I accept this of your hand, says Jehovah? Yea, cursed be the deceiver who hath in his flock a male, and vowed a sacrifice unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, says Jehovah of hosts, and my name is terrible among the nations.
I think the Lord here introduces or offers an advice and warning at the same time. And how gracious is our gracious Father. We remember when the angel appeared to Zechariah in the temple and Zechariah didn't believe his words. You will remember that how the angel turned him to be silent. But I pray the grace of the Lord and the long suffering of our Lord. Here, in spite of the all despising of his name, the Lord is talking to the people seven times and bearing their weariness. And the advice we find is easily verse 9, and the warning we find it in verse 14.
نشوف النصيحة في عدد 9 ونشوف التحذير في عدد 14.
And verse 9, and now I pray you, beseech God, that He will be gracious unto us. And the warning in verse 14, but cursed be the deceiver who had in his flock a male and vows and sacrifices and the Lord a corrupted thing. So, this is the way of the Bible. Introduces the grace and the truth, the life and death. And the Lord advises us in order that He would like to be gracious for us. Otherwise, if we do not hear His advice, I think there is a warning for the one who doesn't hear the advice of God.
النصيحة في عدد 9 ولن تردوا وجه الله فتراءف علينا. الإنذار أو التحذير في عدد 14 ملعون الماكر الذي يوجد في قاطع وذكر وينذر ويسبح للسائل عايلا. دي طريقة الرب يوجد كلمة الله علينا. نعطينا النصيحة ولما نسمع النصيحة هناك إنذار أو هناك تأديب.
Do you think it would be well for us to remember what these offerings would speak to God of?
So which offering are you referring to?
The offerings that, you know, in general. Because in chapter 4 we get the word, remember Moses my servant and the law I commanded him in Mount Horeb.
So do you mean what type of offering he's talking to here?
Well, I sort of asked it as a question. But I guess that primarily it would speak of Christ, wouldn't it? And so what they were doing was the despising what would speak to God of Christ.
Brother Brendan بيقول لنا أنه كونهم بيحتقروا الذبيحة، الذبائح بتتكلم عن المسيح، فهم كانوا بيحتقروا المسيح ده.
There's a link there that we have in the early verses about God's love for us and the favor that He shows towards us.
هنا واضح إنه في أو أعتقد إنه هناك ارتباط بين محبة الله اللي كلمنا عنها في الأول ورأفته علينا.
God speaks of offerings of a governor, and it doesn't say, "Will He accept your sacrifice?" He says, will he accept your person?
ربنا بيتكلم على انك لو جرب تقدم ذبيحه او شيء عائق للرئيس بتاعك او الحاكم ويقول هنا نشوف هيقبل الذبيحه بتاعتك هيقبلك انت او لا.
Verse 9, then linking it with what you saw, he says, will he accept any of your persons, says Jehovah of hosts.
يقول هنا تراءوا وجه الله فيتراءف علينا هل يرفع وجوهكم رب الجنود تتعامل معنا كأفراد.
Thinking with Brendan's thought, I can't help thinking of the burnt offering in Leviticus chapter 1. It shall be accepted for him.
زي مرتبط مع فكرة أننا الأخ برندن في المفرقة في نوعين واحد ناتج كل شيء مقبولا هذا الرب.
If we become diminished in our thinking of God's acceptance of us, really, that casts a slur on the work of Christ. Because His perfect work, His perfect person, is the basis of our acceptance with God. Nothing else. If we doubt God's love, if we doubt the security of the salvation that He's provided through Christ, who is that reflecting on? Is that wonderful humility on my part to doubt my assurance of salvation? No, that's casting a slur on the beautiful and perfect work of Christ.
محبة الله ليا، إذا شفت في خلاص ليا المضمون على حساب قيمة عمل المسيح. فإذا كنت بعمل كده مش موضوع مش متطلب مني، لكن الموضوع في الواقع النتيجة اللي أنا بعمله إن هو يضفي احتقار على قيمة وكمال عمل المسيح وشخصه.
If I think I can continue in sin that grace may abound, who is that dishonoring? We need to remember that God's favor shown towards us is all connected with that one offering.
Test for us as to whether the activities we are engaged with are there to magnify and maximize the glory of the Lord Jesus. And it's also a test for us when we interact with others as to whether that interaction is to the maximizing of the glory of the Lord Jesus.
امتحان لينا وتحدي لينا ان احنا كنا كل شيء بنعمله بنعمله بهدف ان الرب يسوع المسيح يتعظم اسمه يعلو او ايضا بس كده، لكن في تعاملنا مع بعضنا البعض محتاجين برضه نتساءل هل تعاملنا مع بعضنا البعض غير تعاملنا فعلا دلوقتي ان المسيح يتعظم؟
Greg mentioned an aspect which is very important for us, and that is the assurance of salvation. And there are a number of teachings in Christianity that cast doubt on an individual's assurance of salvation. And to apply it to these scriptures, we would say, being associated with those who cast doubt on assurance of salvation is effectively offering a polluted sacrifice.
المؤمن أو يقينية الخلاص هي تعني بمعنى هذا السر أن احنا نقدم ذبائح معين.
It simply is saying that the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus was not sufficient for salvation.
يعني ببساطة جدا بقول اتحادي مع هؤلاء أن ذبيحة المسيح غير كافية.
And the same would apply to other teachings of good works for salvation.
نفس الشيء ينطبق على التعليم الذي ينادي بلزوم الأعمال الصالحة للخلاص.
For the speaking in tongues for salvation.
أو نحن لازم نتكلم بأسئلة عشان نخلص.
For the second blessing of the Spirit for salvation.
أو الحصول على البركة الثانية للروح القدس للخلاص.
And there are many other negative things we could speak about.
وأمور كثيرة سلبية ممكن نتكلم عنها.
The test is, do these maximize the offering of Christ?
السؤال الأساسي أو الامتحان للتفكير في هذه الأمور إنه هل اللي أنا بقوله كده كنت أؤمن بذلك؟ هل ده يعظم ذبيحة المسيح؟
And if any of them say that the death of Christ was not totally sufficient for salvation, it is then a lame, a sick, a polluted sacrifice.
فإن كان أي شيء من الأمور دي أؤمن فيه إنها لازمة إلى جانب ذبيحة المسيح، فالحقيقة ما أقدمه هي ذبيحة سقيمة أو عرجة أو مريض.
And this is what the challenge that Malachi is putting to these people about.
هو ده التحدي الذي يقع ملاك أمام هؤلاء الناس.
David prayed a prayer in one of the Psalms. He said, may the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord.
Yeah, Dawood sallallahu
alayhi wa sallam, I think in our offerings of sacrifices, it's something of a desire of our hearts that we are able to give an acceptable sacrifice. And sort of going back, the desire of our hearts comes from our love for the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And our love for Him comes back to knowing about His love for us. And our knowledge of His love for us comes back to our faith in Him. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I guess what I'm trying to say is, it's impossible for us to offer pleasing sacrifices to the Lord if we're not grounded in the foundations of truth. If we don't have a relationship with the Lord in prayer and in reading His Word, we don't know about Him. We can't build up. I can't just offer a sacrifice to the Lord that is pleasing if I'm neglecting the basics of my faith. I think we see the picture in the remnant here that they were going through all of the routine and everything looked okay, but inside the heart is really the important part, the grounding for our offerings to the Lord.
Another number of ways of interpreting verse 10, and it's quite a difficult verse to translate and interpret. Some would suggest that it means that God is saying He wanted someone to stand up faithfully and close the doors on this horrible, outward, superficial service.
Mm-hmm.
Others would interpret it in the way I suggest just now, that the people were saying, I'm not even going to do the smallest task in service, like closing the doors of the meeting room and locking up at night, unless someone gives me recognition and acknowledgement and reward in some way.
الممارسات الطقسية الشكلية اللي حصلت دي محتاجين حد يقوم في تفسير تاني بيقول انه واحد ممكن يقول لا انا مش ممكن حتى اقفل الباب بتاع الاجتماع الا كان حد يعني يرفع راسي ويكرمني قبل كده.
Because after all, you know, in Christian life, really the bottom line, the most important thing is what I get out of it.
لانه في نهاية الامر افضل شيء المفروض واحد ممكن ياخذ من الحياة المسيحية الشيء اللي يعود علي بالفايدة.
And this Lord's table thing, this remembrance of the Lord, oh, what a weariness, you know, I don't get anything out of it, it's not for me. That's verse 13.
Puffed at it.
Really, God is speaking harshly to those sorts of attitudes. It's not about what we get out of it. It's about what we put into it, but it's what we give to Him. I say this just as an application, not presuming that that's the only right interpretation of verse 10.
So this would be a heart matter, wouldn't it? In Exodus 35, in relation to the tabernacle, God says to Moses, this is the word which Jehovah had commanded, saying, take from among you a heave offering to Jehovah, everyone whose heart is willing.
الكلام ده زي طلب مع الأهل والرب في موسى في الفرق 35 قال كل من قلبه سموع فليأتي بتقديم الأهراب
That was Exodus 35, verse 5. And then in 29, the children of Israel brought a voluntary offering to Jehovah. Every man and woman whose heart prompted them to bring for all manners of work, which Jehovah, by the hand of Moses, had commanded to be done. So we have to ask the question, is our heart right with God?
It's an important point. In relation to the defiled offering, just before we leave that part, and I pray from my heart. That this, it would touch all of us.
Simply believe.
The book of Leviticus.
You can learn that.
Speaks about three points in relation to this issue. There we read about the defiled priest cannot offer a sacrifice. And there was a defiled man. He wouldn't eat of the sacrifice. And there is a defiled sacrifice that should be offered on the altar of the Lord. Three important points. And when we collect together the faults in these points, and we find 30 faults, we can enumerate them without going into detail.
سفر الربيين الأصحاب 21
من Leviticus 21
النقطة الأولى الكاهن المعين
First in relation to the defiled priest
من عدد 16
Verse 16
لا لنهاية عدد 20
To the end of verse 20
وكلم الرب موسى قائلا كلم هارون قائلا اذا كان رجل من نسلك في انيابهم فيه عيب فلا يتقدم ليقرب الخبز اليه لان كل رجل فيه عيب لا يتقدم من هنا نبدا نضع رقم للعيب
من هنا we're going to number the faults give me a minute for the transfer Leviticus 21 from verse 16. Verse 16.
Number one, كل رجل أعمى.
Every man who is blind.
اثنين أعرج.
Two lame.
ثلاثة أفطس.
Three mad face.
أربعة زواهري.
Four legs too long.
خمسة كل رجل فيه كسر.
And five, every man with a broken foot.
ستة أو كسر يد
or broken hand
سبعة أحدث
but seven hunchback
ثمانية أكشن
eight dwarf
تسعة في عينيه بياض
and number nine a man with a defect in his eye
عشرة أجرب
and number ten eczema
11 أكلف
11 scab
12 مردود الخصي
or number 12 is eunuch
هذا الكاهن لا يتقدم ليقرب الخبز إلى.
This priest could not come to offer bread.
هذا الكاهن فيه عيب.
This priest is defiled.
وتطبيق هذا في الوقت الحالي.
And the application of this in our time.
أن كل شخص فيه مثل هذه العيوب.
And everyone has got any of those faults.
لا يصح أن يكون خدمة.
He can't carry a service.
وفي هذه الحالة الخدمة غير مقبولة.
And in this condition, the service is not acceptable. It might be acceptable from people, but it is rejected from God. What would the priest or the fire priest do? He shouldn't carry out a service, but he can eat of the bread.
Verse 22
and 23.
خبز إله القدس الأقداس وروح القدس يأكل، لكن إلى الحجاب لا يأتي وإلى المذبح لا يقترب، لأن فيه عيبا، لأن يدنس مقدسي، لأما أنا الرب مقدس.
He may eat the bread of his God, both the most holy and holy. Only he shall not go near the veil or approach the altar, because he has an effect, lest he profane my sanctuaries, for I, the Lord, sanctify them.
هذا هو المقياس الحقيقي للتصرفات.
This is the real measure for our attitude.
وإذا لم نخضع لسلطان كلمة الله.
And if we don't submit ourselves to the authority of the word of God.
إذا نحن نعمل في الوقت الضائع.
So we are wasting our time.
ونفوس كثيرة تتعصب بسبب خدمتنا.
And many people are stumbled because of our service.
النقطة الثانية.
The second point.
حالات الحرمان أي الحرمان الإنسان من الأكل.
When someone is deprived of food.
أصحاح 22.
In the chapter 22.
يتكلم عن 8 حالات من الحرمان.
Speaks about 8 conditions where one would be prevented from eating.
من عدد 4.
Verse 4.
كل إنسان من نسله وطن. رقم 1 أبرز.
Anyone from the descendant of Aaron, number 1 and 11.
اثنين زوسيل
هو ذيس تشارج.
وهنا بيقول لا يأكل من الأقداس حتى يطهر ومن مس شيئا. ثلاثة من مس شيئا نجسا لميت.
Number 3 whoever touches anything made unclean by a corpse.
أربعة أو إنسان حدث منه اتباع ملك.
Or a man who has had an emission of sin.
أو إنسان مس لبيبا.
Or whoever touches any creeping.
في عدد 10 وكل إنسان أجنبي لا يأكل قدسا.
And anyone who is a foreigner shouldn't eat from the holy thing.
ده يأخذ رقم 6.
Number 6.
7 نزير كاهن. عشر عدد 10.
Number 10.
رقم عدد 10.
Verse
7, Nazir Kahin.
Any the priest who is a high or a hired servant.
بعدين وأجيره.
His hired servant.
لا يأكل خبز.
He should not eat.
يبقى كنا 8 حالات.
Those are 8 conditions.
وعدد 12 من عدد 12.
And verse 12.
وإذا صارت ابنة كاهن رجل أجنبي.
If a priest or priest married to an outsider.
هي الحالة رقم 9.
This is number 9.
هؤلاء الناس لا يأكلون من الأقداس.
Those people shouldn't eat in the hall.
النقطة الثالثة والأخيرة.
Third point in the last.
الذبائح غير المقبولة.
The unacceptable offering to sacrifice.
وهي تتمشى مع سفر ملاخي.
And that goes in line with the book of Malachi.
عدد 22.
Verse 22.
الأعمى.
Blind.
اثنين المغسول.
Broken.
ثلاثة المرعوب.
Three maimed.
أربعة البثير.
Four who have an ulcer.
خمسة الأقرب.
Five the eczema.
ستة الأكلب.
Six scab.
عدد 23.
Verse 23.
الثور أو الشاه الزوائدي.
A bull or a lamb that has any legs too long to shore.
يأخذ رقم 7.
Number 7.
بعدين أو القزمة رقم 8.
Then wolf number 8.
عدد 24.
Verse 24.
مردود الخصية.
The one who is going through to crush.
عدد 25.
And verse 25.
ومن يد ابن الغريب لا تقربه خبز إله.
From the foreigner's hand.
هذا يأخذ رقم 10.
It's number 10.
يبقى هناك كاهن معيوب.
So there's a defiled priest.
وهناك إنسان معيوب.
And a defiled man.
وهناك ذبيحة معيوب.
And a defiled sacrifice.
أذكر الكاهن المعيوب.
Remind you that the defiled priest.
لا يتقدم إلى الحجاب.
Cannot come to the veil.
يعني لا يقدم شيء.
So he cannot offer a service.
لكنه يأكل من خبز الأقداس.
So he would eat the bread of God.
لأن إلهنا إله كلنا.
Because our God is God of grace.
الإنسان المعيوب.
The defiled man.
يحرم من الأكل.
He is prevented from eating.
حتى يعود إلى علاقته من جديد مع الله.
Till he would resume his real proper relationship with the Lord.
الذبائح المعيوبة
the farm sacrifices
لا تقدم على مذبح الرب
and not offered on the altar of the Lord
كما يذكر ملاكي
as Malachi has mentioned.
Everyone examines himself and he. Can we clear for us a question of how to be defiled as to eat from the bread and drink the cup? How to be without blemish to eat from the Lord's table? Can anybody clear up what this is for the condition of the
التطبيق ما هو تطبيق بالنسبة لمعرفة الرب؟ كان عن التطبيق فيما خص في كروسس الأولى 11 كل واحد يمتحن نفسه ثم يأكل.
I would say first thing is 1 Corinthians 11 never prevents anyone from breaking bread. No. Those who have the desire to remember the Lord Jesus, we ought to obey his request in remembering him. We're not told at all not to break bread. The priest that was defiled, that we just heard from our brother Ephraim, he was allowed to eat of that bread. He was still allowed to partake, yet he couldn't do any service to God. I suppose it's just for each individual that we would examine ourselves before God, and it's just not once a week, it's throughout the whole week. Again, scripture does not say not to break bread. It says, let a man examine himself and then eat of the loaf.
I think examination is connected with repentance. Examination by itself is not enough. I need to examine myself. And if I find any blemish in my life or something wrong, I have to repent at once. And unless I repent, no, this means I need to judge myself. What does it judge myself? I come before the Lord. Lord, I am mistaken in this point and I repent. Either to you or to my brother. If it's to the Lord, I have to correct my way in front of the Lord. And if it is with my brother, I have to correct the matters between me and my brother firstly, and then eat. Unless I correct my relationship with my brother, or to settle the case. Settle the case. If there is a case between me and the brother, for example, so I have to settle the case first. I have to go to him, as we read in Matthew 18. To go to him firstly, confess my fault to him, and to settle the matter together, and then I pray for him. Unless I do this, examination by itself is not only enough. And if I'm not going to judge myself, the Lord himself is going to judge me. At the same time, I'm going to delay, as we have heard about Miriam and Aaron, I am going to delay the journey of the assembly for many days.
يعني لو وجد انه في خطيه في حياته ضد الرب يبقى لازم اعترف بيها ضد الرب. لو في خطية أو خطأ ضد أخويا فلازم أروح لأخويا ويصلح الأمر معاه، وبعد ما صلح الأمر أقدر آجي وآجي. وإلا لو ما حكمتش على نفسي بالصورة دي فأنا قطعت تأديب الرب، مش بس كده لكن هيكون في عطل للجماعة في الكنيسة. فلو الحالة الموضوع لم يحل أو ليس هناك حل للموضوع فما أقدرش آكل وأشرب. هل الكلام ده صح ولا غلط؟
Don't believe so.
This is quite a serious thing, isn't it? What we're studying. Malachi and what the Lord is saying is very, very serious. And I was going to In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul says to the Corinthians, your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?
بولس يقول لي أهل كورنثوس أن افتخاركم ليس حسنا، ألا تعلمون أن خميرة صغيرة تخمر العجين كله؟
The thing is that the priests in Malachi's day were carrying on an evil, weren't they? And they thought they'd get away with it.
لأنه في أيام كان فيهم كان بيعملوا تصرف شر، لكن كانوا يقولون أن عدل.
And it not only affected themselves, but it affected all the people. And it's saying there was the same problem at Corinth. The sin of one really affected the sin, or made the sin of the many. So it says, purge out the old leaven that ye may be a new lump, according as ye are unleavened. For our also our part of Christ has been sacrificed. So there is a cause to get right with God. But it must start with repentance.
I think it is pointless for a sinner to come before the Lord and say, I'm a sinner, but that's okay. I'll just continue. And I think it's also pointless for a believer to say, well, I'm wrong, but that's okay. I'll go and pray prayers. That's no problem. I'll just keep going and going to the meetings and offer worship and as if nothing is happening. I don't think this is what's meant by that we examine ourselves. This is what my understanding. شيء لا يعني شيء انه الخاطئ يقول انا خاطئ لكن ما فيش توبه مش عايز يرجع، وكمان لا يعني شيء انه المؤمن يقول انا اخطات لكن ما فيش تصحيح للوضع مش عايز ما فيش رجوع عن المرض مستمر في حياتي او كاني في خدمتي او سجودي او كسر خبز كان شيء عمل يعني.
Concerning the sitting the boy between me and my brother, if I fail to settle the matter between me and my brother, I need the church. Because the church is going to judge the matter at this at the time. And we have to submit the new nature is to teach us how to submit to the church and the opinion of the church.
لو كان عندي مشكلة مع أخويا فجايز إني أحتاج عمل الكنيسة ككنيسة أو تدخل الكنيسة ككنيسة، وإذا الكنيسة لها فكر فأنا أو رأي فأنا محتاج إني أحضر.
وهنا يصير سؤال هام، ماذا يكون الحال لو فقدت الكنيسة سلطان على الجماعة؟
And here we come to a question: what would be the state if the church or the assembly lost its authority or its effect on the company, the believers? I believe that the secret for troubles amongst the assembly that there is no authority of the assembly recognized by the company of
believers.
And the scriptural principles related to the assembly are not clear to the minds of the brethren. We are all occupied with service and ministry. And this is not wrong. But we don't bring the glory of God first. God, it should be obeyed first. I will come back and answer the important question. What is the church nowadays? And is there assembly discipline? Whenever there's someone who is at fault. We have become like a school without a headmaster. Everyone is doing whatever is right in his own eyes. Why there is much groaning? Why there are troubles at home? Why there are troubles amongst the families? There is something wrong. And if we don't go back to this wrong thing, and if we don't confess that before the Lord, we will continue doing the wrong thing, and there is no hope in grace.
This is a very important point the brother is bringing out. When the disciples had a question or a controversy, they turned to the Lord Jesus to seek his answer or guidance. And we can say, how do we turn collectively to the Lord Jesus for our, with our questions or for guidance? And in the same chapter Brother Elijah has been referring us to, we have that so well known scripture that tells us where the Lord Jesus is. Where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them. When we gather to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is amongst us. This is a most solemn thing for us to continuously reflect on. If we come to gather together with murmuring on our hearts, we are despising his name. This is a most distinctive thing that comes out of these chapters in Malachi. And as Brendan said, this is a heart matter. We've had wonderful ministry about the positive conditions of soul of Simeon, of Anna, of Zacharias and Elizabeth, of Joseph and of Mary. And they are all characterized by wanting to be in the presence and right with the Lord Jesus. To fully reflect that, they had to go to the temple in Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus has established a relationship and an organization where he comes to us when we gather to his name. And that's the most fundamental thing of Christian gathering. We can ask the Lord Jesus for with our questions, or with bring him our controversies, in exactly the same way that the disciples did. So the authority that the assembly has is the authority that Christ gives to it because he is in the midst of it. And if any gathering is trying to exercise some authority which is contrary to the headship of Christ, it is not a true assembly gathering. I think that's enough at the moment.
I just wanted to draw together George's question with the things that went before and the things that went after. If, according to Matthew 6 or 5, I think it is, I think perhaps my brother has something against me, according to Matthew 5, I have to leave my gift at the altar and go and fix it up and then offer the gift.
حسب متى خمسة لو أنا ليا ما عندي مشكلة مع أخويا أسيب ذبحتي على المذبح وأروح أصلح الموضوع مع أخويا.
The Lord's Supper is not an altar where we're offering sacrifices. We may make application of this teaching in a way that encourages and instructs us, but it's not the true interpretation of what the altar is. Something different, we can't take up time there. The Lord's Supper, in connection with 1 Corinthians 11 and the need to examine ourselves, the word examine there implies not just examine and ignore, but implies examine and deal with.
كلمة تمتحن في فرنسو الأحضار بتاعي مش بس نحن نمتحن لكن نمتحن وكمان لابد نحن نتعامل أو نخلص المشكلة نتعامل معها.
As Philip said, the instruction in 1 Corinthians 11 is do that and then eat. There's no instruction to not eat.
في فرنسو الأحضار بتقول نحن نعمل كده وبعد كده ناكل ما فيش.
I have no individual authority to do in my own eyes what is right and refrain from breaking bread one week and then break bread another week and then refrain some other week and then do so. Doing that, I'm despising the authority of the assembly, as our brother reminded us, with the Lord Jesus in the midst.
أكثر خالص يوم أو أسبوع أو أسبوع تاني ما أكثرش خالص الموضوع زي ما أنا شايف.
To do so simply introduces a confusion that denies then 1 Corinthians 10. We, being many, are one loaf because we partake of that one loaf. What are we saying?
كنا نعمل كده، إحنا بنحتفظ المبدأ اللي موجود في كورنثوس الأولى 10، نحن جميعنا جسد واحد، أنا نشترك في الخبز الواحد.
We ought to recognize that the matter of breaking bread is a matter of lifelong commitment and subjection to the Lord and subjection to His authority in the
assembly.
It doesn't minimize the need to fix things up as quickly as possible, but it acknowledges that truth as presented in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11.
مش معنى كده ان احنا نقلل الامور لكن نحن لازم نعملها في كورنثوس الاولى 10 او 11. I just want to say something into as a clear application to what that is to what Brother Greg said. So we need to examine ourselves, number one. Examination means we have to deal with it. But if I haven't dealt with it, I think what Brother Greg also said, that it's not up to me to come and not to come. The Brother Greg will come one week or not the other week. I mean, if there is something in my life that I found that this is my own experience, I'm told with my views as well. If there's something in my life that I examine myself, find myself probably haven't been able to deal with it, And I found myself, I cannot eat because I couldn't deal with it. But this is the meaning of the examen. So then really it's not up to me to do it and the next week come back to the broken bread. There is a point where you have to come back to the assembly. It's not right at all that a brother keeps breaking bread one week, refrain the next week, come next week, refrain the next week, and then come as if it's his own right. It's not at all. There has to be a comeback to the assembly. And this is a practical truth that we need to understand and practice.
Another question for Greg, please. There is a problem between two brothers. The first one goes well to the second one and he told them, let us finish the matter for the sake of the Lord and for our assembly. The second one said, no, the mother has not seen it yet. And the second one, after 2 days, prayed for once and twice, and the first one prayed for the glory of the Lord and for the sake of his glory and for the glory of the assembly. Answer the question, please.
Ultimately, as our brothers reminded us, if there's a matter that cannot be dealt with between individuals and then ones and twos helping, it must be brought before the assembly and must be subjected to the authority of the assembly. I think that's what's come out clearly this afternoon.
As another said, the mother was not seated yet, and he went and read bread once and prayed, and another day another read bread again.
Yeah, bread and talked by women's matter. And in scriptures and advice, I believe in more than being given. And my mother suggested that we give you one. But, Mel McKnight, please.
I think we need to just leave that with the authority of scripture on that answer, that the assembly has gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus is the authority to which we must submit ourselves in bringing such questions. Would that be what, a summary of what the brethren have been saying?
الملخص ان احنا في نهايه الامر لابد ان نقطع لقرار الكنيسه ككنيسه في حل الامور مثل ذلك.
It's a question that we have to consider with regard to what they were doing, and that is, what was the reason behind their actions? I think we have to look a little bit further under the surface to see just what motivated their actions in not bringing to the Lord the best of the sacrifices, but the second best.
محتاجين احنا نسال عن السؤال تركت ايه الاساس او الدافع او الارضيه التي ادت الى ان هؤلاء الناس كانوا بيقدموا للرب ليس ما هو
افضل. With the second verse. But why would they be satisfied with the second verse? Probably, you always have demands, but if we do know that his expectations are for the best from our hearts, because he wants the best from us, he might give the best to us. But what motivates us? Because I think that's where very often we have to come to grips with, in our lives day by day, and in our simple
lives.
You can see that there is an element of covetousness, because it seems that they were not prepared to open the temple doors or to get into business. I have always business. Perhaps that was a matter of covetousness. I'm not sure about that, but we explore the situation that may help us in this way.
ربما كان هناك نوع من الطمع أو أو
Perhaps just a question I'd like to ask. The Lord didn't accept the offering from the people. Why was that? We've seen that they were offering sacrifices that were blind and lame, and further down here it was torn, which means violently taken away. Initially, God had provided something for them that they didn't have in the first place, and it wasn't initially for them. It was all for God. It was all meant to be for God.
ممكن نسأل السؤال ليه الله ما كانش بيقبل منهم الذبيحة لأنه كان فيها معيب كان فيها عيب كان فيها الأعمى كان فيها الأعرى كان فيها المسلوب.
You know, God provided material things for them, though they did not have it in the first place. And for us too, He provides things for us that are not initially ours. We ought to give that back to Him. He gives us time. We ought to give that back to Him. You know, if we offer Him the time at the very end of the day, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, do you think He would accept it? I must confess that I've done it at times in giving Him the last remainder of the day to God.
أنا أحيانا نفسي بحس إني بكرم من نفسي إنه لما أدي للرب 10 دقائق في آخر اليوم هو أعطاني اليوم كله.
And serious matters to consider. Now they were keeping the best of what God had given them, and they were giving Him all that which was defective. We do that sometimes too. I even do that sometimes as well. I keep that which is the better one and give God the remainder or the leftovers.
كان المفروض انهم كانوا بيعملوا بيخلوا الافضل شيء ليهم ويدوا الرب الحاجات اللي هي درجه ثانيه او معين لكن الرب المفروض انه ياخذ الافضل.
I want to pay attention for a very important point in chapter 1 and all the book of Malachi. The first chapter 7 times repeated my name.
عايز ألفت النظر لشيء مهم في أصحاح 1 بكل سفر ملاخي إنه بيتكلم بيكرر كلمة اسمي.
7 times in the first chapter.
7 مرات في أصحاح 1.
And in chapter 2, for example,
وأصحاح 2 على سبيل المثال.
And verse 5,
عدد 5,
when I speak about Levi,
بيتكلم عن لاوي.
Said that he was afraid before my name.
You will not tell me اسمي, خاف من اسمي.
So the point is that when we come together around the Lord here, when we appreciate the presence of the Lord, we appreciate His name.
بمعنى نحن لما بنجتمع هنا إلى اسم الرب إحنا بنأتي ونفضل اسمه.
When we appreciate the Lord's Supper, we appreciate His name.
عندما نقدر عشاء الرب نحن نقدر اسم الرب.
When we appreciate the time of the meeting, we appreciate the name of the Lord.
عندما نقدر ميعاد الاجتماع نحن نقدر اسم الرب.
And Psalms 91,
مزمور 91,
promises the godly one that he was going to exalt him because he knew his name.
يعني التقي أن الرب يرفعه لأنه عرف اسمه.
And when the Lord advised us to ask Him from the Father, we ask Him through the His name.
عندما الرب نصحنا عندما نطلب من الآب نطلب في اسمه.
When He asked us to preach the sinner, we are asked to preach with His name that gives salvation for others.
برضو لما نبشر الخطاة نبشرهم باسمه الذي ليس بغيره
خطأ عن خطايا. So the most important point that we have to appreciate His name.
الشيء المهم جدا نحن نقدر اسمه.
And when the Lord spoke about the polluted sacrifices, he didn't ask for something or he didn't explain that this is what despised the Lord, but he translated with other meaning they are despising his name.
لما الرب اتكلم عن الذبائح المعيبه مش كانوا في الواقع هم بيقدموا الذبائح المعيبه يحتقروا اسمه.
And he reminded them in chapter 1 twice.
My name is great among
nations.
Please, we have to appreciate His name, dear brothers and sisters, and we have to deal with all the matters of the Lord as a kind of appreciation of His name.
There's a verse that's often in my mind as we come together, especially in worship, and that's found in Psalm 89, verse 7. It would be a good text to hang up in every meeting room. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. You see, the name denotes the person. And now, when we gather to the Lord's name, it signifies His absence. But it secures His presence. So we ought to have that before us, that we have our Lord in the midst. Now, if you could see Him, how would your behavior be? How would your appearance be? You're sitting. Or you're standing. Everything about you would be different if you could see the Lord in front of you. Well, why is that? Well, I think that's because you're not exercising faith in the fact that He is in the midst. So, when I see someone behave inappropriately, I think, well, they're not believing. But if we believe this book, then our conduct, our manner will be different. Now, I think that's what happened with the priestly company in Malachi's day. They'd lost that vital connection of faith in the living God. Their religion was just a perfunctory performance of ceremonies. In fact, you know, it was so terrible that they didn't realize that they were giving God a downright insult. I think in Exodus it says if anything's torn, it's got to be fed to the dogs. Exodus 22, last verse. He shall cast it to the dogs. But that's what they were doing to God. They were treating Him like a dog. It was a most terrible thing. What they should never have offered to God, they did offer. Now, God's people, the children of God in those days, I suppose, or the people of God, they were in a terrible, low, indifferent condition. And there may well be reflections of their case in our circumstances. Well, it's a very sad state. But God's purpose will not be thwarted. What God desires so much, He will receive. His name will be glorified. Maybe not by us, but by others. Now, I remember, I think it was one of my friends, Mr. Darby, wrote a little line. I'm going to summarize rather than quote exactly. He said, the brethren don't want the truth, God will give it to others. And I think we want to weigh that up very carefully. Are we going to go in for the things of the Lord with full hearts? Are there really going to be changes in our lives as a result of our studying these things? Or are we just going to carry on in indifference? Well, it's certainly a challenge, isn't it?
We would consider the matter of the Lord as a kind of weariness and
distress.
And I think this because there is two things that became absent from in front of them. Number one is the name of the Lord, appreciation of the name of the Lord. And number two, because the love of the Lord. And when the name of the Lord and the love of the Lord is away from our sides, the worshipping of the Lord, the ministering of the Lord, is coming a kind of weariness for us. I'd like to read just one verse from Psalms 42. How the people were eager to meet the Lord. At the heart, that after the water brooks, so vaneth my soul after thee, God, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? When there is appreciation for the name of the Lord and for the love of the Lord control my life, when the power of the Holy Spirit fill my heart, will never the matters of the Lord will be like awareness. I pray that these words touched my heart, and once again the Holy Spirit brings in front of us the sweetness of the name of the Lord and the love of the Lord, in order to have this kind of attraction for all the matters of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.